could be the greatest day of our lives. Today this could be the greatest day of our lives.
Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. It's frightening and stressful to be told that your home is in the path of a fast-moving wildfire and that you need to evacuate. Some people may be tempted to stay put and hope that things don't get too bad, or that they'll be able to defend their house.
And I understand. I sympathize with people who are afraid of what they might lose.
But Rob Stump, the fire chief in Lyons, Colorado, says it's incredibly important to follow evacuation orders and get out quickly. As the climate warms, wildfires are growing more intense and are spreading fast, so he says there is often no time to wait and see what happens. And when people fail to evacuate, they risk their lives and the lives of others.
If I got to send two firefighter EMTs off to try and get someone who'd been warned time and again to get out and hadn't, that's two firefighters that I can't put on an engine doing structure protection to keep the neighboring home from burning down or put on the fire lines. It absolutely takes away from what we're trying to do. I know it's a painful decision to make, but the best course of action is if and when somebody with the training and the expertise tells you that you shouldn't be there, you should listen to them and you should evacuate.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
And welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You're currently tuned into Sociologic here on Tuesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. I am Rebecca.
I'm Kaylin.
That is Kaylin.
Kaylin's tapped out, dude. Kaylin, I'm working hard in my brain.
Her brain is working hard with finals and projects, but this is her last live show, so yes. We are...
I'm tapping back into the radio, dude.
Yes, mine's tapping here. Back in.
Not thinking about my projects. I'm not thinking about my tests.
And we have just been talking about friendships and kind of just yapping a bit, as well as listening to some really cool music. I want to know what you think would have changed as the foundations of friendships now that we are a more chronically online society?
I mean, I feel like what I appreciate about online is that it allows you to become friends with people you otherwise wouldn't have, mm-hmm. whether that's from different places, allows you to maintain friendships like yeah. you're doing with your friends back home, and I'm doing with my friends back home, too. I think that it really expands the definition of friendship. I do think, however, I am not... It doesn't replace the real thing of, like, in-person interaction, and so I think that that is where it becomes harmful, is when people don't have any in-person interaction and only have online interaction. I mean, we all went through COVID. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That was so... That made everybody so unhappy. Mm-hmm. We know this. Talk to people, yeah. give people hugs, cuddle. It's the best. Yeah, what about you? What do you think?
I don't know. I agree. There's definitely the pluses with it. I mean, I would not have been able to know what is going on in my friends' lives as mm-hmm. regularly as I do. Nor would I be able to be calling my parents on their actual birthdays and mm-hmm. things. As well as, like, I have definitely, like... Because of COVID, I met some really cool people online through gaming that I'm still friends with today mm-hmm. and that I've met up with. So it has helped in that sense, and I see the pluses on it. But I do think there is something, like, when you start out with forming friendships online mm-hmm. before you have, like, the in-person friendships, I think it is a bit more detrimental. Slightly different, I would say, for our ages, because we had, like, the first 16 years of our lives, 15, 16, like, having in-person friendships going all the way through, like, high school and stuff with social interaction. Whereas the people that were more like, I'd say, maybe 10, mm-hmm. like 9, 10 when COVID was happening, it would have... I would say been a lot more detrimental to, like, social interaction and friendship building.
For sure.
Because then you're, like, kind of forced to do it online for the first time.
Yeah.
And then it kind of makes it a lot harder then to get back into society. And it's like, oh, what do I do now? Like, I'm now 15, back here.
Yeah. Also, just not having some of those crucial soft skills of, like, how to make friends or mm-hmm. how to interact with people. Like, I feel like I see it now with some kids. It's like they're hanging out. That's what they're doing, but they're all just on their individual phones.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and I haven't been doing well of that today. I feel like I've been very much networking hardcore, but I feel like it's important to me to not be on my phone when I'm hanging out with people in person. And I try my hardest to align myself with that as much as I can. Mm.
I did one really fun thing. It was, I think, when I was 17, 18, with one of my friends who lived local to me. And I'm surprised that our parents allowed it, considering kind of the day and age we live in. But we left our phones at my house and went for a 4-hour walk. And we just caught up with what was going on in each other's lives and chatted. I think this must have been 18, like, right after we'd had, like, our first semester of first mm-hmm. year at uni, because we went to different unis and she went to a uni in Wales. Yeah. So it was like, well, okay, well, you're technically going to a different country. Mm-hmm. But we both said, oh, it was actually so nice. We didn't have our phones at all on us. We physically couldn't go on them. And it was so nice to just we just spoke for 4 hours. And it's like what you can, like, talk about and the avenues you get through
mm-hmm.
When your phone is not there.
I feel that's what I try. I mean, like, when we were in Maple Ridge this weekend, mm-hmm. my phone was in my bag until mm-hmm. like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Like, I don't want to be on it when I'm, like, that face-to-face with people I haven't seen in a while, and also when I'm with people that are around me. If I could, I'm really contemplating getting, like, a flip phone. I think that would, I think I would work for that. Although multi-factor authentication would be really annoying.
Oh, yeah. That might be a bit of a problem.
But we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah. I just think it was, I can see why everyone says, like, you shouldn't be on your phones as much and this, that, the other. But I think it was quite interesting that we forced ourselves out of it for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, to not actually have it on your person when you're going out. And I was actually quite surprised that our parents were fine with it, because I was thinking, if something happens, we have no way of contacting anybody. But I mean, we were in our local village, so
mm-hmm.
it's kind of fun. I wouldn't recommend this if you were like in London, in yeah. a big city. But
yeah, I mean, I feel like it depends on how willing you are to ask people where you are.
Mm.
I feel like, yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah. I leave my phone at home a decent amount, mostly accidentally. And I'm like, oh, well.
You came to the station the other week without your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so funny because you weren't sure, so I texted it and your roommate responded on your phone.
I was like, it's probably there.
But do you think, like, the foundations of friendships has changed because of that? Like, maybe, like, the fundamentals of what you would...
I mean, I feel
how
like...
How you would become friends with someone.
How you would become friends, for sure, because there's different avenues.
Okay, maybe not how you become friends, but maybe, like...
I mean, I just feel like I value, like, face-to-face interaction, like, so much. And I think that I really appreciate that in especially my developing friendships. It's really hard for me to develop a friendship with somebody who's far away. I've never had online relationships in that way. So I can maintain friendships online with people that I already have a rapport with, but it's harder for me to create new ones. So I think that that depends on the person for sure,
too. That's interesting because I think I was a bit of both. I wouldn't have said I struggled to make friends before COVID. I think I was pretty good. I had a good unit of friends and things. But I think during COVID, when it was like I kept in touch with quite a few of them, then I got into gaming quite a bit because I was like, I don't have to study for exams. My exams have been cancelled. I'm then going to be switching schools and starting a new set of like qualifications. So I can't do anything. And I just got very into gaming and I met some great people on there and I found it very easy because I guess because we met through a mutual interest, which was the game that we were playing.
Yeah, I think having shared interests is like really important.
It wasn't like we were on like Omegle or something, one of those things.
House party.
Yeah. And then I struggled actually a lot more coming out, not in just social interaction in general, social interactions with guys.
Interesting.
Because I moved to a mixed sixth form, which is attached to a same-sex all-boys school.
Gotcha.
So it was about 70% boys, 30% girls, and all the girls were transfers. Some of the boys were, but a lot of them weren't. And I distinctly remember this. The first week, the girls were all on one... Because we were to be outside during, like, lunch and break because still COVID regulations. All the girls were on one side, all the guys were on the other side. It was a very clear line that no one was crossing because we'd all been in same-sex schools beforehand. So we were all separated because this is the grammar stream in England. It's very common to have same-sex schools from ages 11 to 16. And because of that, and then we'd had COVID, everyone was like, what the hell do I say to a guy? Like, it was very easy meeting new girls from different schools and talking to them. And the guys all found it easy talking to each other. A lot of them already knew each other, though. But it took a good long time for a mix to happen. And by year 13, I had a good mix and it was great, but it took a lot longer, which I find interesting because then when I went to university, I was found it easy. Like socially interacting with new people and meeting new people, both mix of guys and girls.
I feel like that's like an interesting thing that I've never run into in the same way because I've never been at like a super like gender segregated place. Like, I definitely, like, through points in time, I've, like, noticed how the demographics of my friends are, like, skewed in one direction or the other. But I feel like I tend to, I don't know, I just,
It's a weird, it's something I'm really against in the UK. Because I don't think segregating schools versus on the biological sex of the person does anyone any good. With the girls, you get a lot of verbal arguments and a lot of vicious verbal arguments. For the guys, you get a lot more physical fights.
I think also it's important, especially in, it's important to hear other people's experiences.
Right?
Like, there'll be discussions that you're having and perspectives will be left out if there's not people to advocate for those perspectives. And that is in terms of, like, any form of, like, intersectionality or of any identity that has something to say
to
the conversation.
No, yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I spoke about this on Intravenous a little bit as well, because we noticed when we were mixed together, because all sixth forms are mixed. Mm-hmm. So from ages 16 to 18, you're back to being mixed. Oh, yeah. We noticed a starking difference in sex ed. Of what was taught at the boys' school and what was taught at the girls' school.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's like, well, you wonder why there's so many problems then in regards to sex, sexuality, all of that. Mm-hmm. Because the education is different and everyone's getting different experiences. No one's hearing from the other side of what's important. So
I mean, I feel like that's like a whole nother... I have huge opinions on sex education in the sense that I think it is very much... not taught to this extent that it needs to. I think I took, there's this professor at the University of Washington, and I forget her name. Oh, it's Nicole, the sex professor at the University of Washington. Nicole McNichols, she teaches the psych class called The Diversity of Human Sexuality, and it's the largest class at the University of Washington. It's like almost 1,000 people in one class.
Oh my God.
And she is awesome. Her class is, it's a very like pleasure based sex curriculum, and talks about like the different ways that sexuality and gender and all of that can exist in different ways. And I remember I went to like two of her lectures, and every Wednesday she'd do hump day, and her like TA would discuss a different sex position, and it was so interesting. Like, I don't know, I just I'd never been to a sex ed class that taught it in that way, because it's always very like factual, scientific, but never considering the fact that like I really appreciated that. I thought it was super interesting and awesome that she was willing to center
absolutely
pleasure.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is super
interesting. This is why I, going back to the same sex schools, it's such an old, outdated institution in the United Kingdom that to me it's more detrimental and has way more cons than pros.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
And it's definitely something that I think is impacting friendships a lot, because how we go from mixed primary schools and being friends all together and not caring to then segregated to then back to mixed. That no wonder everyone's social interactions are so like messed up.
Yeah,
and no one can communicate, and it takes them ages to like actually communicate with the opposite, like biological sex, because you segregate everybody. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I can't remember how we got onto that, but it was to do with face to face and becoming online.
I think before we wrap up, I know part of this discussion that you wanted to have was about our friendship, and so I was wondering what it was that you...
Well, yeah, I was kind of wondering, when we... Going back to the start of sociologic, when we delved into the self and socialization quite a bit, I knew, like, one of the big agents of socialization is your peers and your friends. So I was curious about how, obviously, we have been friends since, like, September, October, something like that.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere around there. And obviously, we've now done a radio show together. How have you noticed that you have been socialized or influenced by me, and vice versa?
Accidentally called it a lift today instead of an elevator, and I was like, oof.
Spent too much time with the Brit.
Exactly. I don't know. I think that I've learned a lot of things from you. It's always fun to talk to somebody who grew up so differently, in a very different climate, different atmosphere than you. And so I have learned a lot about like where you're from and how that has affected the experiences you have, and also a lot about you and how like your stories affect how you are. And so I appreciate that. I also appreciate just being able to discuss with you. I don't know, like, influence is hard. I don't know. What do you have an answer?
I mean, I would say you've definitely influenced me in terms of spending less time inside and more time outside. Hashtag Kaylin lives for touching grass. But also, I would say you've definitely brought me out of my shell a lot more. Aww. I've gotten a lot more confident from you. Mainly because, if any of our listeners know Kaylin, she is very much unapologetically herself. And I've had this conversation with a few of her friends, actually, about it's one of the things a lot of us seem to have in common of admiring over you, is how unapologetically you were you.
Thanks, Forrest. That's so sweet.
In which I think that's helped me quite a bit in terms of, like I said at the start, I think a lot. Mm-hmm. My brain is switched on all the time on different things. And seeing how you were so unapologetically yourself, and if someone doesn't gel with it, someone doesn't gel with it, that doesn't matter type of thing. I think that's rubbed off on me a little bit.
Sorry.
Just a little bit. Being over here. And
that's
also
very sweet.
I'm aww. On my phone a lot less than I was before. I've touched a lot more grass.
Yes. No, so, dude, yeah. I would say for sure, something that I really appreciate about you and that like I feel like is a nice reminder to me is you like fully
she's getting choked up because she's only got 4 minutes left live.
No, I'm just choking on oxygen. It's really hard to breathe sometimes. You like fully uprooted your life and moved across the world, and that's super scary. And I have plans to be doing that next spring, but I feel like what you've shown me is that like it will be okay. I feel like you've really established yourself here. You feel comfortable, and I think it's really cool to see. And so that gives me faith that like it's possible.
You can do it too.
It can happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. And I appreciate how much you've been open to learning new things and checking like really countering how you've been taught. Because I feel like I've been doing that too as coming to BC of like, wow, I like was totally taught things differently than things are taught here. And that's super interesting and good to know, and like how can I make sure that I'm filling those knowledge gaps. And I really
absolutely
appreciate that about you.
Oh, thank you. What a wholesome way to end sociologic on the 15th of April. Kaylin's lost.
Happy tax day. Congrats to my stepmom. She's an accountant. She's free now. It's American tax day. I don't know if it's Canadian tax day.
Amazing. That is kind of it that we have to wrap up the show, unless Kaylin, you've got any last words you want to say live on air.
I mean, as always, go touch grass, go outside, sun is good for you, go to sleep early, like get good sleep, take care of yourself, drink water, I don't know, just have fun, go outside is really like the big thing. Go outside and give your friends a hug, tell the homies you love them.
Nice.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I like talking in microphones. It's fun.
It is very
and
fun.
And tune in every Tuesday until the end of June or July to listen to the amazing Rebecca, DJ Rockstar, I think we decided
DJ Rockstar. Might be doing a Slumber Party Sociologic collab as well, so we'll have a new feature voice for at least one episode. Here on Sociologic.
Very exciting.
And stay tuned for Bikuva coming up next from 8 to 10 p.m. with our music coordinator, Connor. And we're going to leave you with two songs. One is by a Utah band, Backseat Lovers, called Kilby Girl.
I love
off
this
of,
song.
I love it too.
This song is the reason I got a nose piercing.
Nice.
Actually. Almost got a fake ID because of this song, too.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to fit the definition.
Mm-hmm. We don't fit into definitions. We make our own definitions.
Yeah, you're right.
Hell yeah.
Well, it depends.
But this is off of the 2019 album, When We Were Friends. And then right up after that, we are going to have the song Coasting by Michaela May.
I love you, Michaela. I love you, Gert.
Off of her 2024 EP or single Scared of Change. And I'll see you guys next week.
Much love.
We're both throwing smoke into the night. It's raining, I suppose. You need a ride. She said, I've got nothing to do, neither do you. There's a place down the road where we can waste the whole afternoon. I overheard that she was 19. She's got a fake ID and a nose ring. Those kind of girls tend to know things better than I do. I'm dying, to figure out what she's hiding. Just playing it cool, but she's lying better than I do.
Sometimes when the sun hits just right.